I pray that you speak to each and every one of us tonight as we study the book of Hebrew in chapter 1. Every time when we study your word, I pray that you open our eyes that we can see the wonderful light of your gospel and shine upon the darkest area of our life so that we walk in your light and we be the Son of Light. And we want to truly understand your word and we want to follow you to receive the blessing from you, not only in this life but also in the life to come. And fill us with your Holy Spirit and fill us with your word. We have a strong desire to do your will, not just to be the hearer of your word, but also be the doer of your word, so that we truly receive your blessing. I pray that you'll be with us tonight as we study. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, the last time, we finished it, in verse 2. Now, today is verse 3. The Son is the Son of God. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. In other words, when you look at Jesus and you see the glory of Jesus, then you see the glory of the Heavenly Father. So the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And right beside that, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 14, and verse 9. Anyone who has seen me, said Jesus, has seen the Father. So anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. So that's what he means by the Son is the radiance of God's glory. And then how can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The word I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. So you write down, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. You write down John 14:9. Also 1:18. 1:18, Gospel of John. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. In other words, through Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God. Because Jesus Christ, the Son, is the radiance of God's glory and is the exact representation of his being. Is the exact representation of his being. You see Jesus, you see God. You see God, you see Jesus. And the Son is the one who is sustaining all things by his power, by his powerful word. So, what do we know one thing? Everything was created by his word. Once things was created and needed to be sustaining. There's a lot of people saying that I think we spend so much money in buying the house, but we don't spend that much time and energy in maintaining it. Do you know that if you buy a brand new house, you need to spend money, set aside some money for maintenance? I tell you which part of your house needed to be maintained, especially in your garage, the outside window, outside door, the paint will peel off. You need to maintain that. Especially the paint peel off from the wood frame. If you don't have a new paint, the wood frame will rotten. Then it costs you more money to replace the wooden frame around it, casing and all that. So when you buy a house, you better watch out. Don't spend all your money just in a down payment and forget to set aside some money for maintenance. In here, the Bible says very clear, God not only used His Word to create the universe, He says, God appointed Jesus Christ, His Son, to be heir of all things. And through Jesus Christ, God made the universe. He made the universe and He sustained the universe. He sustained the universe, sustained all things by His powerful word. How did God make the universe? By His word. He made the universe by His word, and then He sustained the universe by His powerful word. Everything is His word. So who is His word? That is Jesus Christ. Okay? You remember 1:14, Gospel of John? The Word became flesh. Could you read it? Gospel of John 1:14. Sally?
The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came up from the Father, full of grace and truth.
So when you see the glory of God, you see the glory of Jesus. You see the glory of Jesus, you see the glory of God. Because God is in Jesus, Jesus is in God. You know, this is a mystery. This is a powerful statement that Jesus wants us to imitate Him. Okay? I go back to, go to 1:14. The Word became flesh and make His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory. His glory is the glory of His Son, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John saying that he has seen the glory of Jesus. When he seen the glory of Jesus, that means he see the glory of God. Because 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side and has made Him known. And 14:9, don't you know me, Philip? Even asked, Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? I am in the Father and the Father in me. I want you to write it down. 14:10, and you write down Galatians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. 2:20. And also, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Whether by life or by death. For to me, To live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. What it really means is Christ lives in Paul, and Paul lives in Christ. Galatians 2:20, isn't it what Paul is saying? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And then Philippians 1:20, I live in Christ. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but we have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus Christ lived in Paul, and Paul lived in Christ. Now, isn't he followed the very first step of Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, I live in the Father, and the Father live in me. Do you remember Gospel of John 17:18? Gospel of John 20, verse 21? As the Father has sent me, and I send you. As the Father lives in Jesus, now Jesus lives in us. And I live in Jesus, and Jesus lives in us. So as I studied the gospel, as I studied the Bible thoroughly, I found out one mystery. That is, by believing in Jesus, you not just have eternal life. By believing in Jesus, you live in Jesus, and Jesus lives in you. That's the mystery. So I not just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I also believe that whenever I see Jesus, I see God. Whenever I see God, I see Jesus. Because the Father lives in Jesus, and Jesus lives in the Father. Because the Father sent him to come down. Could you read that? 17:18, 20:21.
As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world.
So, as you sent me into the world, that means the Father sent the Son into the world. And he didn't just send his own, okay, you do your own thing, I leave you alone. No, I send you into the world, and I live in you, and you live in me. I empower you. Do you remember the Nicodemus, what did Nicodemus say to Jesus? I know that. If God is not in you, you have no power to perform all this kind of miracle, isn't it? So Jesus not rely upon his own strength to do the will of God, to do the will of the Father. So as the Father sent him into the world, he rely upon the power of the Father to finish his task. So in other words, let's say in the future when you go and get a job, whatever your supervisor tells you to do, you better empower me to do the task to finish it. You don't tell me, say, I want you to do this, and then I don't tell you how to do it. When he asks you to do that, he will empower you to do it so that you can finish the task. If you need the resources, you lean on him or her to give you the resources. In the same way, how the Heavenly Father sent Jesus to the earth, and Jesus said, I will send you to do the same. And so that's why Paul said, I live in Christ, and Christ lives in me. To live is Christ, then to die is gain. If you live for yourself, if you die, you're in deep trouble. Right? So you do your own thing, that's no good. Make sure that you remember. What about 2021? Gospel of John. Same thing, you repeat the choice, right?
Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
So he mentioned that choice, right? So what happened? Christopher, if your father asks you to do something, then you just do it according to what your father say. If you If you do exactly what your father tell you, will he be happy or will he be sad? He will be happy. During the process, by asking you to do that, empower you to do that, will he give you the power, resources to do it? He would, right? So in the same way, when God the Father tell his son, send his son to come down on earth to die for us, God empower him to finish his task. In the same way, as the Father has sent me to the world, now Jesus Christ sent you. So now if you do spend time in the internet, the email, you better through the email tell your friend about Jesus Christ. You know what? You don't have email address? Okay. Now, remember one thing. Did your friend have a telephone number? Did you call them? How do you interact with your friend? Facebook? You don't talk to them?
I sometimes call.
You call them, right? So, I tell you what to call them, okay? Especially after you study the Bible, you hear something that God say to you, you tell them what God said to you. Tell them the good news. All right? Daniel? Okay, now go back. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. The sun is the radiance of God's glory. The sun is the exact representation of his being. Exact representation. That means you see Jesus, you see God. You see God, you see Jesus. You hear what Jesus say, then you hear what God say. You hear what God say, you hear what Jesus say.
This is still doing.
What happened? Now, the sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he has provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So in here, I explain the latter part of this, verse 3. After Jesus Christ has provided purification for sin. What does it mean by purification for sins? I want you to write it down. 1 John chapter 2, 1 to 2. Purification for sin. What does it mean by that?
My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's why we tell this good news to the whole world. Because Jesus Christ not only loved us, he loved the world. He loved all sinners. He wants all sinners to repent. After Jesus Christ has offered himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, that means after Jesus Christ has provided purification for sins. Purification for sins, that means we don't need to sin anymore if we trust in him. The reason why we sin against God, because we don't trust in Jesus. We don't let him to dwell inside your body. You make your own decision. Remember this afternoon we talked to that lady, 80-some years old. She's complaining how painful she is. She's going to be dying, stuff like that. And people not looking after her and stuff like that. And she didn't want to listen to what we say regarding the gospel that she hear. And she didn't believe in it. And when I look at her, sometimes I look at myself. When the Bible tells us something, if you don't believe in it, we will keep on doing our own thing, just like that lady. And then we are still in pain. We haven't solved the problem. The reason why Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins so that he didn't want us to sin anymore. He purified us, just like what the author in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 saying. After Jesus Christ has provided purification for sins, he finished it. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Do you know what he means by he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven? In the Old Testament, I have never seen any high priest. After he offered sacrifice, he sat down. The high priest in the Old Testament always standing and offering sacrifice. Years after years, day after day. And what's the reason why? After Jesus Christ has provided purification for sin, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Because he finished it. Can anyone tell me? How come he sit down? Danny, what did I just say? When you sit down, that means what? The task is finished or unfinished?
Task is finished.
You don't need to offer any more purification for sins, right? So what does it mean? That means that purification is good for all time. He did it once, and it's still useful for all time. So what does it really mean?
That sitting down?
Yeah.
That you are finished what you have done?
So Jesus Christ has finished what he has done. What the Heavenly Father sent him to do. What did the Heavenly Father send him to do? So I want you to write it down. Provide purification. You write down Isaiah 53:10. What did the Heavenly Father want Jesus Christ to do? Really?
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer.
To crush him, to crush the Christ Jesus, and to cause Jesus Christ to suffer. Whose will is that? It is God's will, the Heavenly Father's will. And then?
And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand.
And though the Lord is Heavenly Father, make his life, make Jesus Christ a guilt offering. A guilt offering, right beside here, a guilt offering, you write down 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not just for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it is the Lord's will to do that, and he did it. The Lord did not want Jesus Christ to die numerous times. The Lord only wanted his son to die once and once for all. And he get it done. And that atoning sacrifice is good for all time. In the Old Testament, the high priest standing all the time to offer sacrifice. Why he's standing? Because that offering is only good for one time. But Jesus Christ did it one time, it's good for all. You don't need to repeat it again. It's finished. So because of that, when we go to the church now, we don't need to offer ox, sheep, lamb, or goat. We don't need to offer, we don't need to slaughter any animal. Because all these sacrifice are just the image of the reality, of the true reality, image of Jesus Christ. You understand? The Lord, in fact, do not really want the sacrifice. The Lord wants Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice. Now you understand why David is saying what he's saying. In Psalm chapter 40, hear what David says. Psalm 40, do you find it? Verse 6. What did the Bible say?
Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you do not require.
Verse 8, 7 to 8.
Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart.
I desire to do your will. Right beside, I desire to do your will. You write down Isaiah 53:10. What did Isaiah 53:10 say? Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. It is the Lord's will to make Jesus Christ to be the atoning sacrifice. And Jesus Christ say, yes, I'm willing to do it, to do your will. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I want you to write down right beside Psalm 40, verse 8, right beside verse 8, you write down Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. Do you know what Jesus said? My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. And finish it. That's why he sit down. I finished the task. That task is for all generation. That task is forever. Good forever. Brother and sister, I always make the emphasis of doing God's will. So we have to know God's will. Because God's will to each and every one of our lives are different. Some are common, but some are different. He may want you to serve in your career as an accountant, as an engineer, and some, you know, he may want me to be a pastor. But as a pastor, it's different from as an engineer or as a doctor or whatever, as a lawyer. But we have common will that the Lord wants us to do, to be his witness, to tell people about God. Remember, take a look at the life of Joseph. He witnessed for God, right? God revealed the two dreams to him. He believed in the word of God. And because of that two dreams, he was sent to prison. And he stand firm. He didn't stumble. Eventually, the dream was fulfilled. He do God's will. Because God want all his brothers to bow down before him. And that come turn out to be the truth. So that dream is not just a regular dream. It's God's vision to him. That's God's will to him. What happened if he didn't want to commit adultery with his Pontifer's wife? Remember Pontifer's wife tried to lure him to commit adultery. He said, I don't want to sin against God. He stand firm in that, and God is very pleased with it, and then honor him to make him in a high, very high position, right? And all his brothers bow down before him, isn't it? So that is not a regular dream. That become God's will. So, brother and sister, I want you to study scripture. Every time when you open up the Bible, I show you how to pray. Say, Lord, I don't just, for the sake of study the Bible, to study Bible. But when I study Bible, could you please tell me what's your will for me in my life so that I want to do your will. You know what? That is exactly what Paul is saying to the church of to the saint in Ephesus. Will you please turn to Ephesians? You know what did he say to us? Ephesians chapter 4. What did he say to us? I'm sorry, chapter 5:17. Chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I think Jesus understands not what the Lord's will is for him, right? Right? I want you to write down right beside what the Lord's will is. As far as Jesus is concerned, there's Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 34. And you write down Isaiah 53:10. That is the Lord's will for Jesus. But what about the Lord's will for you? I tell you what the Lord's will for you. I want you to write it down. Matthew 16:24. That's the Lord's will for you. To follow Jesus, to deny yourself, and to carry the cross. Isn't it what the Lord's will is for Jesus is to crush him? Isn't it the Lord's will for Jesus is to crush Jesus and to cause him to suffer for our sins as an atoning sacrifice? Isn't this the Lord's will for each and every one of us to follow Jesus, to carry our own cross? Doesn't matter what profession you are in. Etta, could you read Matthew 16:24 to us?
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Isn't it the entire Bible telling us something, telling us Jesus to follow God? My will for you has already determined, cannot be changed. Do you remember that when Jesus was in Gethsemane, in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Jesus pray? Not my will, but your will be done, right? Isn't it the Lord's prayer is like that? Not my will, but your will be done, isn't it? Right? So we got to know what the Lord will is for us, for each and every one of us as a Christian, is to follow Jesus. Well, are you sure that's the Lord will is? Yes, I'm very sure. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30, five things. Whoever God knows, and he predetermined that you have to follow Jesus. When he make that decision that you have to follow Jesus, and he asks you, Daniel, are you willing to follow Jesus? If you say yes, then he call you. Okay? Then you be my follower. When you say yes to Jesus and then you're willing to follow him, then you say, okay, even suffer you want to follow me, I justify you. Whoever I call, I justify. Whoever I justify, I glorify. Because you're willing to follow me and suffer pain? Come on. I will give you glory. You be king. You're going to reign with me forever and ever. So it is the Lord's will for each and every one of his son to follow the one and only son, Jesus Christ. He become the eldest brother. And all the younger brother got to follow Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? I think Paul understood that. Nowadays, not very many Christians understand that. Could you read that? Romans 8:29-30.
For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
So the Bible didn't just tell us justification. The Bible didn't just tell us salvation. You are justified. That means you have eternal life. The Bible also tells us that you'll be glorified. You'll be king with me. You're going to be ruled the whole world. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Those he justified, he glorified. We got to remember that. God's will is for you to be glorified. I want you to write it down right beside glorify. You write down 3:23. For all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. We lost the glory of God. You lost the glory of God. He wants you to regain that kind of glory. Do you understand that? Those he justified, he glorified, right beside glorify. You write down 3:23. Read that to me. 3:23.
In John?
Romans.
You know what? Whenever I don't tell you the Bible, that means if I want you to write it down right beside 8:30, and I say 3:23, that means it's Roman. Yeah. So that you don't need to write the title of that gospel or the Bible, because it saves time. But if you write the Bible, write any, let's say if it's Psalm, you got to write Psalm. Otherwise, you won't know what it is. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's a trick for me. You can learn that. Okay.
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Fall short of the glory of God. That means when we sin against God, we lost the glory. Do you remember I keep telling you people that before we sin against God, we enclose ourselves with what? The glory of God. I don't need to put on any clothing, because the glory of God is my wonderful dress. Fine linen, you know? Brilliant glory. Right? I don't need any other clothing, right? And I don't feel ashamed, although I'm naked, because I'm not really naked. The reason why I feel that I'm naked is Adam and Eve saw that they are naked because they have sinned against God. They lost the glory of God. They fall short of the glory. They lost it. But God wants us to gain it back. You know what happened? When I sinned against God, I lost the control of the whole universe. I lost the control of lion and tiger. Tiger and lion is not scared of me. If I stick my head out, he's going to bite your head off. You don't ever try to put your head inside the mouth of the crocodile or alligator. He's going to crush it, okay? But before Adam and Eve sinned against God, crocodiles and alligator, they are afraid of Adam and Eve, because they have the glory of God. We lost that. Where does it say? Psalm 8. In the future, when Jesus Christ comes back, he ruled the whole universe, he ruled all creation, and he give us back the power to rule. Psalm Chapter 8, verse 6-8.
You made him ruler over the works of your hands.
Who is he? That's Jesus Christ. You make Jesus Christ ruler over the work of your hand.
You put everything under his feet.
You put everything under his feet, everything including what? You write down everything, write down Psalm 110, verse 1. Everything including enemy. Enemy including death. The last enemy is death. That means when Jesus Christ was resurrected, he overcome death. He won't sin. He won't die anymore. He swallowed death. Life swallowed death. So, God put everything under Jesus' feet. Everything including enemy, everything including death, everything including all flock and herbs, and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea, and all that swim the path of the sea. And also, he gave us the power to rule over all angels. He gave us power to rule over all creation. Star, moon, sun. Now we don't have that power. Do you remember Joshua when he prayed? He prayed that no light. He prayed that the sun don't go down. Keep on shining. Right? And when Moses prayed and there's darkness, who did Moses pray to? He prayed to the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father answered his prayer. And Heavenly Father is controlled the whole universe by his word. Right? He sustained everything through his word. When God's servant pray and God answer, and he make the sun dark, that means who control the sun? God. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ will give us the power to control them. Not just control the bird of the air, the fish of the sea. He gave us power to control every creation. The lion, snake, they listen to us. Isn't it beautiful? It's amazing. You make him, you make Jesus Christ ruler over the works of your hand. Moon and sun is also the work of his hand. Do you remember Jesus can walk in the sea? Jesus Christ can calm the storm by his word. By his word, he sustained everything, sustained the universe. By his word, he created the universe. And by his word, he destroyed the universe too. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he destroyed the old heaven and the old earth by his word. He sustained it by his word. He destroyed it by his word. So we better listen to his word. His word is powerful word. That's what the Hebrews say. Hebrew chapter 1 verse 3. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he provided purification for sins, Jesus Christ sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. When did Jesus Christ sit down at the right hand of the majesty? When he has finished God's will, finished the Lord's will, by being an atoning sacrifice for our sin, not just for ours, but the sin of the whole world. He done that, then he sit down. And Jesus Christ done a good job. He did God's will. But we have to know what is our will. Where is our will? Testing your memory. What is our will? And what's God's will for us? Tell me. No, don't look at it. Tell me what is the Lord's will for Daniel. The Lord's will for Arthur, Lord's will for Sally, John Lamb, Grant, Christopher. Okay, Daniel, tell me the answer. What's the Lord's will for you?
To be like Jesus, to lay down our lives and take up the cross and follow him.
Yeah, you know what? To lay down our life, to take up the cross and follow Jesus, that is like Jesus. But she explained more clearly in Matthew 16:24. To be like Jesus, that's a shortcut. To be like Jesus in what way? To be like Jesus, like In Gospel of John 4:34, right? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish it. Like a brother and sister, sometimes when we love God, we say, oh, I want to do God's will. I want to do God's word. And then we start the work, and then in midway, we are discouraged and then we give up. Don't do that. Follow Jesus. If you want to be like Jesus, you start the work, you better finish it. I don't give up. That's how I teach my daughter. Don't ever give up. When you give up, you lose the opportunity. You've got to be persistent. Finish it. And finish it well. You know what? I tell you one thing. So as to encourage you. And Grant is the witness. Around 3 weeks ago, I visited one of the pastor. He used to be a pastor in Hong Kong. I knew him around 8-10 years ago when I was in the Westside Church. And 3 weeks ago, I visited in a general hospital. I asked him, is anything that you want me to pray for you? He said to me, every time when you pray, please remember me. I cannot sleep. On my right shoulder, I feel there's some kind of pain. It's like, just like the bed was heated. I put my hand there, it's not heated. It wasn't heated, just a regular bed. But he feels so much pain on the right side, on his shoulder. And at night, he just cannot sleep. I say to that pastor, I say, Pastor, I will pray for you. A week later, that means 2 weeks ago, I asked him, how is that pain? Do you still have that pain? Do you still have that heat in there? He said, no, now it's from here, all the way down to the feet. I said, I'm sorry. You asked me to pray for this, I pray for that. I say, Lord, make sure there's no pain on the right shoulder. Last week he said, I have pain now, move to the other part of the body. Since last week, I asked God to take away the pain throughout the entire body. And this week I asked him, do you still have that pain? That heat in the body, in the bed? He said, no, but I feel weak. I forget to pray for strength, right? I say, next week I will be in New York. I won't be able to see you. I will spend 2 weeks time to pray for you for strength. That you can walk. And strength in your hand and in your leg, in your feet. And I tell you the result 2 weeks later. Do you understand? Isn't it God who hear prayer? Oh, you who hear prayer, all beings should come to you to pray. Psalm 65, verse 2. We know that God who answers prayer, especially the prayer of a righteous man for a righteous person. God answer prayer. When you know that God answer prayer, should you not pray more often? Then you know it's amazing. I pray for his right shoulder and I ask him, do you have any more pain in your right shoulder? He say, no more. But now from here down, I feel hit in there. I say, hey, yo, Chile, how come it's like that, you know? He go to another part. I say, I don't want to have any more pain in your body. And today we see him. What did he say? Is there any more pain? He said, no more pain.
No pain. It's
amazing, eh?
Just doesn't have any strength. You know,
it's amazing. God is so good. You know what? Do you know what? when Jesus come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, do you remember that a father has his son being demon possessed and asked the rest of the disciples to cast out the demon and they can't do it? You remember that? And then Jesus cast out the demon. Everybody thought that he's dead. He wasn't dead. But he lost his strength. He got healed already. He lost his strength, cannot get up. That's exactly what happened. I forget this incident. I should have said, now if you heal him, give him the strength back, pull him back. So before I left, I lay hand on him and pray for his strength. You know what happened? It's the first time I see him walking. Yeah. After I lay hand on him. I tell you where is it, okay? Oh man. Go to Mark 9. It is amazing. You know what? When I look at what the Bible has recorded, and I look at what we experience, it's exactly the same, you know? You read that from chapter 9, verse 14. You read it?
Just 14?
No. All the way, chapter 9, verse 14, all the way to the end.
When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us."
And that guy's funny. If you can do anything. Come on, is there anything difficult for Jesus to do? If you can do anything, you know what? Oh, do you know what lesson Jesus tried to teach him? If you can. You can do anything, come on, you know, just, it's amazing. Hey, Jesus is very merciful, you know. You know, if let's say, assuming you are as powerful as Jesus, say, am I able to do it? Come on, you know, do you have faith, you know? You understand what I'm trying to say? He's a mighty God, right? Oh, God is good. If you can, verse 23.
"If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead."
I mean, why would the boy look like a corpse that many said? Why? Because he lost his all his strength. He did not move, right? When you are healed. Hey, have you ever gone through, like, when you have fever, you feel shivering, you get through a virus or whatever, and after you get healed, you just feel you're dead, you're so tired, but you're healed already. And you just need more strength. You need eat some food that to gain the strength back. You understand? That's exactly what I forgot this incident. And then the Lord reminded me, pray for his strength. Raise him up, okay? Read that again, 26.
The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up.
That means give him strength, right? Strengthen him by lifting him up. And that's what we should do. So now what have I learned in this incident? When I pray for people healing, I have to pray for his strength too. When he get healed, strengthen him. Okay? Yeah. Okay. Now, go back. Hebrew chapter 1, verse 4. So he became as much superior to the angel as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Jesus Christ became as much superior to the angel as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. First of all, talk about Jesus himself is more superior than angel. And Jesus' name is more superior to the name of angel. And then verse 5, he starts to explain what does it really mean. Verse 5, for to which of the angel did God ever say, you are my son? That name, I want you to circle the word, the name, and my son, that name. Being the son of God, that name is a superior name. I tell you why. Will you please go back to Psalm 65:2? When we pray, what do we pray? Could you write that right beside? Psalm 65:2. All you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When all men come to God, how do we come to God? We come to God by the superior name. You write down, right beside prayer, you write down John 14, John 14:13-14, 16:23-24. Jesus reminded his disciple, when you pray in Jesus' name. Because that name is powerful. That name is superior. By that name, the demon was cast out. By that name, God answered our prayer. That name is a powerful name. You understand what I'm trying to say? Read that. 14:13-14, 16:23-24, Gospel of John.
And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
So, does it mean that when I ask God in Jesus' name, I can ask anything? No. You will not ask God for anything in Jesus' name other than the will of God. In other words, you won't say, oh, Jesus, would you please answer my prayer to allow me to win the lottery and give me $10 million? No. Because Jesus said, we should get rid of the greed. You understand what I'm trying to say? When you pray in Jesus' name, when do you pray in Jesus' name? You know that is what Jesus said. I want you to write it down other than 14:13-14. I want to make sure you write down right beside 13:14. I want you to write down 1 John chapter 5:14-15. You not only ask in Jesus' name, you have to ask according to his promise, according to his word, according to his will. Then you can ask in Jesus' name. You don't say, Lord, I want to take the gambling. I want to go to casino. I want to go to casino and gamble and make money. That's not Jesus' will for you in your life. You pray like that, even though in Jesus' name, He won't answer you. Because you don't pray according to God's will. You don't pray according to God's word. You understand? So, how do I pray? When I pray in Jesus' name. When I pray in Jesus' word, in Jesus' will, in Jesus' promise. Then I know I get it. You know why when I pray for that pastor, I know God will heal him? Because he's a faithful servant. And I'm a pastor. I know what a pastor suffers. I know that. I know what his pain is. I know God loves him. So that's why I pray for him. And when I pray in Jesus' name. When I pray in God's word. When I pray in God's will. I know God will answer me. You know who get the glory? God get the glory. You know who get the glory? Jesus get the glory. Right? Go and read 16:23-24, Gospel of John.
16:23-24. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Asking you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
So I want you to write down right beside here, 14, 13 to 14, and then 1 John 5, 14, 15. So right beside 13, 14, you also write down 16, 23, 24, right? So that you link it all together. So that you remember. You remember how to pray to God. Don't ever tell me, oh, the Bible doesn't work. I tell you one thing. The Bible always works. The reason why when you pray, Jesus did not answer. You don't pray according to God's will. You pray according to your will. Or you don't pray in God Jesus' name. Okay? His word is very powerful. Don't ever say to Jesus, if you can. Of course, everything is possible with God, okay? Come on, if you can. Of course he can. Go. 1 John 5, 14, 15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him.
Do you know why 1 John? You do know why John write this 1 John chapter 5 verse 14 to 15? Because anyone who read 1 John chapter 5 14 to 15, he must have read Gospel of John. You write down here. He must have read Gospel of John 14, 13 to 14. And then 16, 23 to 24. And then he come to Apostle John. Hey, John, I pray in Jesus' name, it doesn't work. I said, what do you mean it doesn't work? Did you pray in God's will? Did you pray according to God's word? I said, I'm sorry, I don't. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He expects, how dare you are to pray in Jesus' name, I pray this, I'm going to go to casino and gamble. How dare you are to pray like that? You don't pray against God's will in Jesus' name. You blaspheme God. You understand? So, now listen to me very carefully. Whenever you pray to God, you always pray in Jesus' name. You always pray in Jesus' promise, according to his promise. Don't pray according to your own word. You hold on to his word. So that's why when I pray for this pastor, I know God will answer me. And I just prove it to them. I let them see that. Okay? I didn't see him. I didn't say, I bribe him, say, hey, make sure you say that, eh? In Chinese, the underground table money, right? Pastor John didn't have that money anyway. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you encourage us to come to you more often. Because to you who hear prayer, all men should come to you. When we come to you and taste the goodness of the Lord, we know you are a good God. Help us to lean on you, whatever the life difficulty we may face. I pray that we do not discourage. And we keep on trusting in you, keep on knowing you, keep on studying your word, hide your word within our hearts so that we know how to pray, so that we know what to pray, so that we know whom we should pray for, and so that we experience your blessing. Encourage us, and I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah. So today we finish it in Hebrew chapter 1, verse
3-2.
So verse 4, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So I talk about the name. The name is more superior than any other name. To that name, how do I experience that name is so powerful? Unless you use that name to cast the demon out, use that name to pray, you experience that name. Wow, that name is powerful. God bless you, okay? Yeah.